Okay, so it's not really the last teaching of the day. Just want to make sure you don't try to cut out early because we're going to have communion after this. So make sure you stick around. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and just loving us even when we're not perfect, Lord. We're just so thankful for that. And because of the love that you've shown us today, we want to be able to show that love to others. And Father, I just pray that you will show each and every one of us how we can express your love. In Jesus' name. Okay, so are you feeling the love? I'm just wondering, are you feeling the love in the room? Is it like that garlic thing? Like, is it all in your body? So now it's time to let it come out of your pores, right? Because of how much God has loved us, now we need to love others, right? So centuries ago, if you were in the temple and you were looking for the high priest, one of the ways you could find them is they would sew bells at the hem of their robe. And to keep those bells in perfect harmony, they would place pomegranates in between each bell. If they didn't place those pomegranates in between the bells, they would just be clanging cymbals or just simply noise. But it was the placement of each pomegranate that made those bells ring in perfect harmony. And it tells us that story in Exodus 39, so you can look that up later. But the pomegranates, which were the fruits, is what made those bells ring in harmony. And to me, 1 Corinthians 13 is like the pomegranate between chapter 12 and chapter 14. So in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, they're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how we exercise those gifts and what those gifts mean. But it's like Paul inserted 13 between 12 and 14 to be the pomegranate. Because no matter what your gift is, if we're not doing it in love, it's just noise. So I think it's very interesting that 13 is placed here, and it reminds me of that pomegranate on the priest's robe. So I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 13 to you now. If you want to follow along, you can. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The kind of love Paul's talking about is that agape love we were talking about earlier that the girls have been referring to, right? That agape love. Really, agape love didn't exist until Jesus died on the cross. If you wanted to spell agape love, you would spell it S-A-C-R-I-F-I-C-E, sacrifice, because that's what Christ did for us, right? He sacrificed his whole life for that unconditional agape love. So this morning, my husband and I, we have, I don't know, maybe our hot water heater is going out or something, but it's like we kind of have a race to the shower because whoever is in there first gets the hot water and the other person has to take a really fast shower. So I thought, well, he's probably going to sleep in today, so maybe I'll even shave my legs or something, you know? So I got in the shower and, you know, was talking to God in the shower and having a nice long shower. And he just comes out. He's like, what were you doing in there, you know? He said, I got to go catch some wild animal or something. Like, what are you doing, you know? And I said, do you know how to spell love? And he said, S-T-O-M-A-C-H. That's stomach. That's what he said. So that was my morning this morning. But, you know, listening to these teachings and knowing what God has done for me, out of an attitude of gratitude, I want to spread that love. It's that garlic coming out of my pores. I want people to experience what I have experienced. And so, for the sake of time, we're going to concentrate on verses 4 through 7. So we're going to go through those gifts of love, right? The love suffers long and is kind, etc. So I want to talk about love suffering long. I was thinking about Corey's teaching. I've been all those people, the single woman, the married woman, the divorced woman, the single woman again, and the married woman again. And I've been married now for 5 years to Mark Hammond. And when I think about love as kind and long-suffering, I think about my husband, because he didn't know what he was getting into, let me tell you. He had this, like, really simple life, you know, and he had this simple home, and he didn't even have cable. I was like, if I had to watch one more 1980s version of Law and Order, you know, I'm going to go crazy. But he just had this simple life, and then he married me. And so marrying me involved moving into my home with 4 adult kids who come and go all the time. And my mother, who is 90 years old, lives with us. And my brother, who has post-traumatic stress, lives with us. Now, fortunately, it's a guest house, so we have a little bit of privacy. But he moved into that, and I have the most amazing mom. She, like, gave up her life for her kids. She's the one that taught me how to pray and the love of reading, and she just was always there for her kids. She sacrificed so much. She's 90 years old now, but the only men she seems to like are her grandsons and her sons. So she's just mean to the rest of the men in the world. And so here comes Mark, the nicest guy in the whole world, and she's just mean to him. She just is. So when I think about long-suffering and kind, I think about my husband Mark in my house with my mom. I mean, when we first got married, he said, who runs this house anyway? And I said, she does. Like, what are you talking about, you know? But he's so gracious with her. In fact, when I go through these little love is things, I'm going to show you a few pictures of how it speaks to me. And I would challenge you to think about what does that picture look like for you. Because really, you could say, love suffers long. Or you could say, Julie suffers long. Julie is kind. Julie doesn't envy, right? Put your name where love is. So I'm going to give you a few word pictures of what that looks like for me. So when I think about love suffers long, let's have that first picture. Okay, this is my house. And for those of you who can't see, I'm gonna describe it to you. This is my mom driving her car through the house. So she is 90. So on December 5th, I had my little granddaughter over and I heard this earthquakey sound and I, on the other side of the house, so I went, you know, I looked around and I keep this bucket of sand in my backyard for those smokers that come over. And I saw it on the ground. I thought, oh, the wind blew it, but the trees weren't moving. But I just went back to, you know, doing my thing. And then all of a sudden, my brother comes running to the door. And I've got, you know, my granddaughter on my hip. And I can see this much of the car sticking out of the house. So I can't get in. You can see she's, like, trapped in the car, and I can't get in to help her. That's my brother trying to lift the couch over there. And I really wish you could see it closer because she's in the car. She's still driving, by the way, in that house, you know. I had to yell at her to turn off the car. And so I can't get in the back, so I run all the way back through the house, through my part of the house, and I see her, and I can see she's okay. Because that's all I cared about. I didn't care about the house. So I see she's okay, and she's sitting there, and I'm like, turn off the car. And she's just, I got to get the car out of here. And you know. So I just took my phone, and I took a picture. That's the picture. Sent it to my kids and Mark and said, Granny just drove her car through the house. Can you all come and help me clean it up, please? So I think we have another picture of that. That's what it looked like after we got the car out. So I called Mark, and I said, honey, Granny just drove her car through the house, and he said, I'll be right there. And he came. We were all just kind of standing there like, what should we do, you know? And he came, and he just took control, and he told everybody what to do, got the place cleaned up, and he never let my mom feel embarrassed about it at all. I mean, what a blessing, right? My mom wasn't hurt. She didn't hurt anybody. And here's the best part. I've often wondered, what is that conversation going to look like when I have to tell her she can't drive anymore? And she wasn't driving much. She says, I'm hanging up the keys. She got out of the car. She said, I'm hanging up the keys. So I don't even have to have that conversation. And thanks to insurance, my mom has a beautiful new living room. She has a, and I got her one of those chairs that makes you stand up and lets you sit down. And so she's a happy camper. So another picture I want to show you, when I think about love is kind, I think it's interesting that love is kind and long-suffering are together, right? But this is my friend June. And June goes every single Thursday at 9 o'clock to Foothills, Foothills Long-Term Care, something like that, okay? But it's like Craycraft and Grant. This is worse than a nursing home as far as I'm concerned. It is a county home, and a lot of the people who are there are on trachs. There's a gentleman there who, a young boy, who had like a minor drug charge, but he was so embarrassed, he unsuccessfully hung himself. And he's just laying in a bed, and this is what I'm seeing. I mean, there was a man there with Huntington's disease, and they had to have him on a mattress on the floor, a young guy, been there for a long time. His mom was there. She died there from the same disease. And it's like, oh, God, oh, gosh. So June has a guitar, and her friend has a guitar, and she has a few different friends who go. Kristen's gone. And she asked me to go. I'm like, well, I can't sing. I can't even tap my foot. I'll throw everybody off if I do that. And she's like, well, all you have to do is smile. So the first time I went with her, I didn't smile. I bawled my head off the whole time. I had fake eyelashes. It was a disaster. And I just cried, and I cried because I was like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, what can we do? Like, we need to put pictures on the wall, or we need to do something. That's just how my mind works, right? But this is Candy, and they all have their favorite songs that they want to hear, and they know them, and they want them in a certain order, and they're, you know, Amazing Grace and Jesus Loves Me and I'll Sail Away and some Johnny Cash and some John Denver, and they love it. And you can tell the people who are raised, you know, in the Word, because all of a sudden they're in this horrible place, but they'll just start raising their hands and worshiping God, and it's probably one of the saddest and most amazing things I've ever seen. And June and I travel together a lot, but she will not travel on Thursday because she has to go to rehab. Foothills Rehab, that's the name of it, Foothills Rehab. She has to go to rehab. I mean, when she first told me she went to rehab, I thought, I wonder what she was addicted to. I didn't, you know. But this is June's rehab. So this is Candy, and there was a whole routine. They brought her a crown from Burger King, and they'd put it on the clock, and she'd point to the crown, and even when the crown was gone, she still pointed to the clock, and it was a sad day for June last week because Candy went home. But she's out of that body, and she's free, and she's with Jesus now. So this is the project that Helena was talking about that they're doing next. They are making lap blankets and beanies for all the residents there. So we can take those to them, and let me tell you, they don't get many gifts, so I'm pretty excited about that. So as we move on, it says, love does not envy. It's not jealous, right? So let's take a look at what that might look like. Love is not jealous. Oh, look. Do you ever do that? And there she is, right? I kind of like that girl on the left. She's not like super skinny or anything, but you know, do you ever do that? Like, really? What are they wearing? You know? So there's no room for that, right? I mean, I got to tell you, honestly, I don't have a lot of that in my life because I have friends who rejoice with each other when they rejoice and mourn with each other when they mourn. But let's check ourselves. Are we worried? Like, are we jealous they have a better husband? Are we jealous they have better clothes, better house? Whatever? But you know what? The truth is, everyone has a story. So nobody's life is perfect, right? So there's no room for that. No room for jealousy and envy. And then it says, love does not parade itself. and is not puffed up. It's like, oh, whoa, shoot, where'd that come from? Okay, do I need to say anything? I mean, okay, you know, there's some things he says that are good, but truthfully, could we not put up every politician here? Seriously, if I have to hear one more of them tell me how great they are, it's like, how many more months of this do we have left, you know? But, you know, I don't know. When I saw that, that picture came to my mind. So then it says, love does not behave rudely, right? Love is not rude. Think about that. What's rude? Okay. Well, you guys all know I travel a lot. And this is where I see some of the worst behavior is in an airport. I mean, if the weather's bad in Denver, it's not that lady's or guy's fault, you know? You're going to get home when you get home. You want to know one time when you're totally out of control? It's when you're traveling. So you might as well just have a good book and go with it. Go eat the food, all the airport food, and whatever you got to do, but don't yell at the poor lady behind the desk or the flight attendants on the airplane. I just, you know, and if there's a lady like my mom that's 90 trying to put her suitcase up on the top, help her, because that's what we need to do. Another thing I think about when I think about love is rude is this whole cell phone texting, all that stuff that's going on. You know, I work at a school with some young kids, and I swear they sit across the table and text each other. They don't even talk. But how many of you have been in this position? You're with someone and everybody's on their phone, for Pete's sake. I mean, it's even happening in meetings and business meetings and conference rooms. It's like, put the phone down, right? Just put it down and have some quality time. So that's rude. So if you do that, don't do that. Okay. And then it says, love does not seek its own. You know, I thought about putting a picture of my two grandkids. They're like 22 months, and my granddaughter is always hogging the toys from my grandson, you know, but that's obvious because they're born like that, right? And we have to teach them not to be like that. But here's a picture. I am really fortunate, you guys. I work for an amazing company, and they're so generous. So instead of doing a Christmas party this year, we decided to do a day of giving. And we had different opportunities that you could be involved in, and there was some real pushback at first, but we just pressed on and were positive, because we knew their lives would be changed if they did some of these activities. And then we had a pizza party afterwards and shared stories of what happened. We were able to do stuff at Gospel Rescue Mission, the Women's Center. We did El Rio Health Center. And then, you know, some people like animals more than people, so they did therapeutic riding or something. But it was a great day, and I remember going to the park to feed the homeless. That was the one I picked, and I was just so proud of myself because I had the instant coffee and the instant Nestle's Quick or whatever, so they could have hot chocolate or they could have coffee. But the homeless have invented a new drink. It's called the Cadillac, and that's when you get both. So they know what they want. I'll take a coffee dark, I'll take a hot chocolate, I want the Cadillac. So I was really proud of myself. I was serving them, and I was serving them with great, and I was keeping the line short until I looked across the park. So this is Jean. She works with me also, and she just went over and started talking to people, which is a little bit more uncomfortable than serving them coffee, right? And this man said his legs hurt. So she said, "You want me to rub them?" And I look over, and there she is sitting on the ground rubbing his legs. Like, he probably didn't smell good, right? And she just did it with such joy. And I can't get that picture out of my mind because I think it's so cool that she did that. How about love is not provoked? So love provoked is really provoked when your love is provoked. It's an act of emotion. It's an act of emotion. It's like uncontrolled emotion. Do you ever do that? Like, love is not provoked? So this is like a perfect picture of somebody who's like reacting in emotion, right? We're not supposed to do that. Notice it doesn't say easily provoked. It says not provoked, okay? And then I have another picture here of, oh, who is that person? I don't know. So look at that gal in the red scarf. I think she might be provoked. And I don't know. Is Christine here? Is Christine still here? Christine, what the heck? Like, I'm trying to figure out who was provoked, you or her? She tried to kill her with the stroller, because we all know that's a very dangerous vehicle. Was it an umbrella stroller? Or? So, yeah. What was going through your mind at that point right there?
Well, it's New York.
Oh, okay. So you're allowed to be provoked in New York? Okay.
I was thinking,
how did she not see me, you know? Yeah, how did she not see her? I don't know, but... I'm so glad that Christine can walk in love. That's such a great thing. Right? Christine, thank you for being so kind. Okay, so then it says here that love thinks no evil, you know? It's like, do you ever... Okay, my mom does this a little bit. Thank God she doesn't listen to these teachings. But my mom, if somebody does something nice, I love my mom. But if somebody does something nice, she thinks... They want something. They want something. What do they want? Why did they do that? They want something. I think they want my car. I think they want my car. I think the nieces and nephew want my car because they lost their car, and I think they want it. But you know what? We need to not think like that, right? If somebody does nice things and does great things, we just say, that's awesome, right? That's awesome. And we can't be concerned anyway, right? We just do what God has called us to do. You know, I've had many women say, I think you should do this in ministry. I think you should do that. And my simple answer is, I do whatever God calls me to do. That's who I have to answer to, right? Is the Lord. So you just keep going, even if people are questioning your motives. It also says that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. You know, sometimes people fall into problems because of their own sin or their own mistakes. But should we rejoice for that? And I see that a lot with the homeless. And who are we to judge? That is my question. Who are we to judge? Talking about my husband, Mark, he was homeless when he was a teenager. So he has a big heart for the homeless. The only time he's ever been arrested in his life is when he stole some avocados off a tree because he was starving. And so... my third date with him was somehow, because you know you do all the things they want you to do when you're dating, he asked me to fix Thanksgiving dinner, and we went into the wash behind Costco and fed these homeless men. And they were so gracious and so kind. They had kind of set up a camp there, and he knew them. And I remember when we got done doing that, it started getting dark, and he's like, let's go to the thrift store and buy them all coats. And so we did that, and we went back and took him the coats. And then about the fourth date, he has like a deal with some of these hotels down on the freeway where they'll let him pay cash, because a lot of hotels won't let you do that, but they'll let him pay cash because they know him. And one day he, you know, in his animal expert truck with all the stinkiness and everything, saw a homeless guy and a wife and a baby. So he stopped, put them all in the van, took them to a hotel, and was paying for it. And then one night we got a call that the man was in a lot of pain. So we went and picked him up. We went to St. Mary's Hospital. He had kidney stones. And I'm thinking, okay, this is my fourth date, and I'm in the waiting room at 2 in the morning at St. Mary's with a baby, patting the baby on the back while they're in the emergency room. I'm like, what in the heck did I get myself into, you know? I got to go to work tomorrow. What am I doing? But that's just the man that I married. And he just loves them so much. And so this is actually a picture from Diana's ministry, Love Works, but this is also, I know these guys, because sometimes, I don't know if any of you know Pastor Amos, but he is a Korean guy that feeds the homeless downtown that everybody's in an uproar about. But all he does is every night he goes to all the Dunkin' Donuts, he gets the leftover donuts, and he goes to 3 parks every day. And he just gives them donuts, and they're hot chocolate, and their coffee, and their Cadillacs, right? And, you know, he's trying to be stopped, but until, you know, we're arrested, it's like God's protecting him, because he's just feeding them, and he gives them food, and then he comes back and picks them up to go to church. And he's just an amazing, and they love him, and they respect him. And, you know, one day my husband and I are walking downtown, and it was probably some of these same guys were there. And this lady was walking next to us, and she's like, they asked for some money. And she's like, get a job. And my husband was so upset, you know. But I've talked to some of these men. And remember, everyone has a story. And, okay, so are we going to say because they drink too much or maybe they're mentally ill that they don't deserve to have food in their belly or a warm cup of coffee on a cold day? And let me tell you, they're not just a bunch of old men. They're getting younger, and there's women, and it's a problem. So when Diana told me what she did, I was like, wow. And one of the things I forgot to tell you is Megan and Johnny will be singing on February 13th at Diana's event. But you know what? I don't rejoice that they are suffering. You know what I rejoice in? That they have a full belly. That makes me rejoice every time they're fed. So then at the end, it talks about how love bears all things, love believes all things, love hopes all things, and love endures all things, right? And when I think of those three things, I've been thinking about them a lot because I've been praying about this day for a long time. And those are my kids. I was a few years old. That was my daughter's wedding in our backyard. So that's Aaron and Lauren and Emily and Matt. And when I think about hopes all things, bears all things, believes all things, I know how they were raised, but they're not all walking with God, you know? My girls are doing pretty good. My oldest son, one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life, really doesn't want anything to do with God. He's had a lot of pain in his life. And sometimes I think, oh my gosh, he's never going to come back to God, you know? And then Matt, you can tell he thinks he's a hippie, but I've told him many times a real hippie's mom does not pay their cell phone bill. So the two boys, they're not quite there, you know? They're just not quite there. But when I read this, this was the picture that came to my mind. Bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Isn't that a great way to think about our kids who aren't walking with God? Like, we have hope. We know how we raised them, we have hope. We can be that example. And that example that I've tried that hasn't worked is telling them everything they're doing wrong. The example that does work is when I love them. When I love them and I pray for them and I just be the mom that God made me to be. I mean, what am I going to do, yell at him? He's 36 years old, you know? It's like, but you know what? I can love him. And when I love him, he comes around more. And when he comes around more, he gets to be around Mark, who's going to talk about God all the time. So that's a great thing. So I just really want to encourage you here to think about what would your word pictures look like. It might be as simple as being kind to your husband. It might be a myriad of things, right? These happen to be my word pictures for today, but I want you to think about what are yours. You know, this is that scripture that everybody talks about. Even non-believers know what love is. But put your name in that picture because, you know, there's a thing that happens when we're studying and getting ready to teach. And it's like, we want to do it right because we're about to present it. So I've been walking around my house, especially through this construction and the thing with Granny, you know, and I've been like, Joni's kind, Joni's long-suffering, Joni's, you know, I just put your name there where love is. So because Jesus did what he did for us, it's an automatic thing. When you're abiding in him, you're going to produce that fruit. And that's my challenge to you today, is to think about how can I show the love of Christ to everybody? Because you guys, time is getting short. I heard about another earthquake in Taiwan. And I'll tell you, the people I'm around, we believe that. We think it. We feel it. And that is our number one goal in life, is how can we love people into the kingdom? Because you know what? If you take all those gifts, if they don't have love, those things become noisy. But they also, if you have the gift of prophecy and you don't have love, you know what that'll come out as? Legalism. Judgmental. So we need to be really careful. God gave us these amazing gifts, but if we don't have love as the foundation, they're meaningless. They're clanging cymbals. They're noise. So I want to really encourage you to let that love that you've received today, how are you going to spread that out into the world? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We just love you, and we thank you that you love us and you wrap your arms around us. And Father, we just pray that you will show us opportunities, open our eyes to show our love, and let us be those perfect examples that people say, wow, that love is coming out of them, and I want to know where it comes from. And you know, if we're not great evangelists, it doesn't matter, Lord, because we know love never fails. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us, and pray that you will just keep our eyes open to look for opportunities to love others. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.